In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Veni, Sancte Spiritus, replet tuum corda fidelium et tuae amoris in eis ignem accende. Emite Spiritum tuum et creabuntur. Orimus Deus, qui corda fidelium Sancti Spiritus illus adoquisti, da nobis in eodem Spiritu recta sapere, et Deus semper consolatione gaudere, per Christum Dominum nostrum.
Amen.
Sede sapientiae, in nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
When you think of the first sin, which happened not on this earth, but in heaven, at that battle between Satan, Lucifer, and St. Michael, what happened before? How was it possible that the highest angel could fall so deep? It is certainly true that by his excessive self-love he fell into the sin of pride. He was instead looking to God, he was instead looking to himself. We are prideful and every sin has us. It's true pride, but we are prideful because we love ourselves in an inordinate way. God does not want that we hate ourselves. That to say would be very wrong. But God wants us to love ourselves in the order he established. Many times when we exceed self, this love of ourselves, we fall into the sin of pride. And by doing so, we destroy the order which God has given us. Because God wanted us to love ourselves as creatures. But many times in the practical order, we don't do it. In the theoretical order, we remain saying we are a creature, but in the practical order, we act as we were the creator. And that's why we fall into the sin of pride. Our Lady acted totally different. She acknowledged, she loved herself, all her qualities which she had, because true humility is based in truth, but she did not take the credit for it. When she considered herself like she did in the Magnificat, she would immediately draw the line to God. Her origin and the cause of her being and the cause of her great election. We, on the other hand, not always draw this line. We look in ourselves and we think how great we are and how holy we are. And by this, our minds is clouded and destroy the order which has given us. So the very subject of this meditation, and it's an important meditation, is self-love. The real question is, what do I have to do? What do I have to fight against if I want to die interiorly, as we said this afternoon? If I want to turn to God to 90 degrees, I must turn away from myself. And how strong are we hanging, so to speak, on ourselves, on that ego inside us? And how difficult it is to renounce this ego and to separate ourselves, in a sense, from it. We should not be self-seekers, and devotion already will help us if we live up to it. The devotion will help us to renounce this inordinate, the real question underlining inordinate love of ourselves. She will help us to do so with the grace of God. That we are not self-seekers, but that we are God-seekers, so to speak. Our Blessed Lord says in the Gospel in St. John, chapter 12, verses 24 to 26, following. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless the grain of wheat falling into the ground die, itself remaineth alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world keepeth it unto life eternal. If any man ministers to me, let him follow me, and where I am, there also shall my minister be. If any man ministers to me, him will my Father honor. In St. Louis, Grignot de Montfort, as the great teacher instructs us in his letter to the Friends of the Cross, in number 47 as follows. Be fully persuaded that through the sin of Adam and through your own actual sin, everything within ourselves is vitiated, not only the senses of the body, but even the powers of the soul. So much so, that as soon as the mind, thus vitiated, takes delight in pouring over some gift received from God, then the gift itself, or the act and the grace, is tarnished and vitiated, and God no longer favors it with his divine regard. Sins, looks and thoughts of the human mind can spoil man's best actions, and God's choicest gifts, but about the acts which proceed from man's own will and which are more corrupt than the acts of the mind. So we need no wonder when God hides his own within the shadow of his countenance, that they may not be defined by the regards of their fellow men or by their own self-consciousness. Or does not this jealous God allow and do to keep them hidden? How often he humiliates them, into how many faults he permits them to fall, how often he allows them to be tempted, as St. Paul was tempted. In what a state of uncertainty, perplexity and darkness he leaves them. How wonderful God is in his saints and in the means he takes to lead them to humility and holiness. The imitation of Christ speaks in Book 3, Chapter 27. Self-love chiefly keeps us back from the sovereign God. Good. My son, thou must give all for all and keep nothing of thine own. This one sentence again is a very detailed description of the true consecration, true devotion. Give all for all and keep nothing, absolutely nothing for thine own. Know that the love of thyself is more hurtful to thee than anything in the world. Everything according to the love and inclination which thou hast to do it, cleaveth to thee more or less. If thy love be pure, simple, and well ordered, thou shalt not be a captive to anything. Covet not that which thou mayest not have. Seek not to have that which may kill or rob thee of thy inward liberty. It is strange that thou wilt not from the very bottom of thy heart commit thyself wholly to me with all things that thou canst desire or have. It is also regarding the consecration the same thing, right, that we kind of tight interiorly, and we have the fear to give, to deliver ourselves to her. And this comes from the fear she may ask a sacrifice, or I don't have that liberty which I like so much. But that's all based on self-love. And you really have to lift up your spirit and have this great courage to deliver yourself to her with everything what it entails, but also live up to it. And I guarantee you that you will not be the loser, because she is a good mother, she cares for you, and she will not abandon you. So if you give everything, she will give you everything as well. The imitation continues, why dost thou pine away with vain grief? Why dost thou suffer thyself to be overwhelmed with useless cares? Be resigned to my good pleasure, and thou shalt suffer no loss. If thou seekest this or that, or would be here or there, for the sake of thy own interest, or of thy own will, thou shalt never be at rest, nor free from solicitude. For in everything thou wilt find some defect. In every place there will be some one that will cross thee. It is not therefore the obtaining and multiplying things exteriorly that avails thee, but rather the despising of them and cutting them up by the root out of thy heart. This I would not have thee to understand only with regard to money and riches, but also with regard to ambition of honor and desire of empty praise, all which things pass away with the world. The place avails little if the spirit of favor be wanting. Neither shall that peace stand long which is sought from abroad, if the state of thy heart want the true foundation, that is, if thou stand not in me, thou mayest change, but not better thyself. For when the occasion arises and is accepted, thou shalt find that which thou didst flee from, and even more. The disciple says to our Lord, Confirm me, O God, by the grace of thy Holy Spirit. Give me the power to be strengthened in the inward man and to cast out of my heart all unprofitable care and trouble. Let me not be drawn away with various desires of anything whatsoever, that it be of little or great value, but teach me to look upon all things as passing away, in myself as passing along with them. For nothing is lasting under the sun, where all is vanity and affliction of spirit. Oh, how wise is he who considers things in this manner. Give me, O Lord, heavenly wisdom, that I may learn above all things to seek thee and to find thee, above all things to relish thee and to love thee, and to understand all other things as they are, according to the order of thy wisdom. Grant that I may prudently avoid him that flatters me, and patiently bear with him that contradicts me. For it is great wisdom not to be moved with every wind of words, nor to give ear to the wicked, flouting siren, for thus shall we go on securely in the way we have begun. I want to conclude with reading you few invocations of the Litany of Humility. Right. From the desire of being esteemed, and the answer is deliver me, Jesus. Then from the desire of being loved, from the desire of being extolled, from the desire of being honored, from the desire of being praised, from the desire of being preferred to others, from the desire of being consulted, from the desire of being approved, from the fear of being humiliated, from the fear of being despised, from the fear of suffering rebukes, from the fear of being calumniated, from the fear of being forgotten, from the fear of being ridiculed, from the fear of being wronged, from the fear of being subjected, that others may be loved more than I, that others may be esteemed more than I, that in the opinion of the world others may increase and I may decrease, that others may be chosen and I set aside, that others may be praised and I go unnoticed, that others may be preferred to me in everything, that others may become holier than I, provided that I may become as holy as I should. And Jesus, grant me the grace to desire. When it comes to humility, humility is always truthfulness, that we see us how we are, what we are, but we don't take the credit for it. If there is good in us, we give the credit to God, that we see ourselves, what we are, how we are, in the order God established, namely as creature, totally, but absolutely totally depending on the creature, namely our loving God.
In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus.
Santa Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus,
in nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.